On va continuer sur ce sujet tout aussi passionnant cette fois, intégrant la télépsychiatrie dans l'organisation des soins, le Centre national de télépsychiatrie du Danemark comme modèle. Tout à fait intéressant, c'est vraiment des équipes souvent pionnières, en demandant à Marie Paldam Folker de venir nous en parler.
Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Je m'appelle Marie Paldam Folker et je continue en anglais. Because I don't speak French at all. So anyway, perhaps you'd like to fetch a pair of headphones. My ears are completely warm by having had these on. Yes. Well, I'm head of a department at Center for Telepsychiatry in Denmark. I'm actually trained as an anthropologist, and I've worked in the healthcare technology field for over 10 years, specializing in technological interventions for mental health. Let me start out by saying that the promise of digital mental health technologies to advance diagnosis, to augment treatment, and to expand access to mental health care is receiving much attention these days. And there's a great enthusiasm that these new technologies, they will transform mental health care service delivery. Yet, even with the current global crisis in mental health care, with depression now being the leading cause of disability worldwide, the real-world uptake of these digital technologies into clinical practice by service users, by mental health care providers, remains very, very low. So moving from the future with your presentation, I'll take you into the practical, real world of clinical practice in psychiatry. So my presentation will provide you with a glimpse into the work that we do to implement these new technologies, the challenges we face, and the way we think about moving forward with this field. So first of all, I'm going to give you a very brief overview of Danish mental health care. I think it's fairly similar to French mental health care. I'm going to introduce the Center for Telepsychiatry and show you how we work with the new digital technologies. And then I'm going to dive into two examples of what I call real-world e-mental health implementation. One is our Internet Psychiatry Clinic, which is a national rollout right now in Denmark for 2 years. And two, our use of video consultations in outpatient care. And then finally, I'm going to share with you some of the lessons we have learned and how we think about moving forward with this exciting field. So mental health care in Denmark, well, we have a public mental health care system, as you do, with equal and free right to services for all citizens. The Danish healthcare system is divided into five healthcare regions. My center is based within the region of southern Denmark. That's a green region to the south of Denmark, spanning a fairly large area. Of course, not large compared to France, but in Denmark it is a large region. We actually have a brand new action plan for mental health in Denmark, for mental health care, the one on your left. And it's an action plan with initiatives and targets for the period from now until 2025. And there are several targets concerning improving mental health and also targets concerning service delivery and mental health care planning. And just very briefly, in Denmark, I guess it's the same situation in France, we have a problem with low mental health or mental health problems among young people. We have a problem with health inequality. People with a mental health disorder die earlier than the general population, 15 to 20 years earlier because of undetected somatic disease. We have to reduce the use of coercion by 50%. So these are national main priorities. Concerning mental health care planning or organization, we have to work very much more towards early intervention and prevention. The Danish healthcare system is transitioning right now from inpatient care towards outpatient care, towards care in the community. And then patient involvement in care planning, that's a very huge political agenda where we're moving from designing our services according to the system towards designing services according to patient needs. And then finally, improving access to treatment is a high priority, and digital tools are one of the solutions. So just briefly, yes, mental health is a public health challenge in Denmark. Approximately 1 in 5 Danish adults have a common mental health disorder. So why use digital technologies? Well, we have an increasing prevalence of mental disorders in the Danish population. We have a troubling increase in mental health problems among young people. We have a profound lack of mental health care specialists, psychiatrists, strained health care budgets, and we have problems with discontinuity of services between care healthcare sectors. And then we have the issue of stigma, as you do in France, limiting people's ability to seek mental health care. E-mental health or telepsychiatry is all about improving access to mental health treatment and improving patients' abilities to self-manage. And this is possible in Denmark because Danish citizens, as your figures also showed from France, Danish citizens are highly IT literate. They use the internet for looking up health information. They use mobile devices to access the internet. And, well, 72% of the population in the age span of 16 to 89 years are in possession of a mobile smartphone. So e-mental health provides new opportunities for preventing and for providing treatment. However, despite this rapidly expanding evidence base demonstrating the efficacy of e-mental health technologies, implementation in routine clinical practice, as I said before, remains low. So my center here, Center for Telepsychiatry, our main task is to work on the implementation of digital tools. So we are a research and development center within the mental health services in the region of southern Denmark. The center was officially launched in 2013, and since then we are committed to develop, to research and to implement innovative technology-based services that are clinically relevant, safe to use, and meaningful to service users or end users. And these technologies that we work with, they vary from web-based mental health promotion to online therapy programs to mHealth, this field about using apps, and to more recent technologies such as virtual reality and chatbots based on artificial intelligence. So my team consists of about 40 persons with different backgrounds. We have psychologists, we have public health professionals, we have psychiatrists, IT developers, engineers, and social scientists, just as myself. And yes, we're part of a hospital So we're part of the mental health services in this region of southern Denmark. We're located in Odense, the island in the middle of Denmark. We have a background population of 1.2 million citizens. It's one mental health hospital consisting of a set of departments, both adult departments and children departments. And overall, our objectives with using digital tools for mental health, well, it is to improve access, first of all, improve access to treatment. That's the main issue. It's also to improve quality, of course, in patient pathways in terms of outcomes as well as efficiency. It's about supporting a more person-centered, more flexible service provision that is tailored to the individual patient's needs. And then it's about enabling self-management, which is hugely important considering mental disorders. Also about improving continuity and then promoting mental health and early intervention. Now, you were afraid of defining the concept of e-mental health. I've actually tried to define it here. Telepsychiatry, well, you can define it as the use of electronic communication technologies to provide a support clinical psychiatric care at a distance. That's kind of the tele suffix. E-mental health and telepsychiatry is actually a rather old term. My center was born with the name, so we have to kind of stick to it. But we increasingly use the term e-mental health more, which is a more recent term, designating the delivery of services targeting common mental health problems through online tools such as websites, apps, sensor-based technologies, and so on. Yeah, this colorful model describes how we work with new technologies. We facilitate innovation, identifying need, identifying unmet needs, prototyping solutions. We drive forward the development of technologies, and we support implementation in clinical practice. And we do this by collaborating very closely with service users, their families, healthcare professionals, researchers, and IT companies. Our center operates a set of services or interventions. We have the Internet Psychiatry Clinic, which I'm going to tell you a little bit more about. We support implementation of video consultations. This I will also tell you about if I have the time. We operate a website called mindhelper.dk, and this is a very hugely popular youth mental health website with information and tools for young people to manage their mental health. We have another website called mindapps.dk. This is all about assessing quality and safety of apps. So mindapps.dk is an online library with certified or approved apps that are safe to use by patients and mental health care providers. We also have a large intervention or implementation of digital self-monitoring through an app. And this app is used in our psychosis teams, in borderline teams, and affective disorder teams. And then finally, we have a research unit where researchers work on the evidence base for these technologies, as well as develop new emerging technologies, such as, for instance, virtual reality. Yes. So, two real-world examples of e-mental health. First of all, the Internet Psychiatry Clinic. It's an internet-based guided self-help service offering treatment to people suffering from mild to moderate depression and anxiety to adults in Denmark. So it's a therapist-guided ICBT. Do you know this term, ICBT? It stands for Internet-Based Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. The efficacy of ICBT as a treatment modality has been a topic for research for two decades. We have plus 200 randomized controlled trials showing the efficacy of ICPT comparable to face-to-face consultations. The Internet Psychiatry Clinic is the first large-scale implementation in Denmark. The clinic operates by self-referral, so citizens have been can get access, can get fast access to treatment free of charge, to evidence-based treatment without the need for a referral from their GP, so they can just ask for treatment themselves. Yes, the development of the Internet Psychiatry Clinic, well, it was launched in connection with a national action plan to disseminate telemedicine in Denmark. So it was a project to begin with from 2013 until 2015. It began operating in routine care with a permanent funding in 2015. And this year in March, we managed to have a joint agreement between the five Danish regions in Denmark to roll out this service to citizens. And we're going to offer treatment to 1,400 patients per year. That may not sound as so much to you, but it's a great deal to us, because the year before we had only 300 patients per year. I think I'll skip this one in order to save time, but just briefly, it's about the treatment offers. The patient fills out a questionnaire before entering. Then it's we have a video assessment interview by the psychologist. Afterwards, the patient will work on these IT modules with written feedback from a psychologist, and treatment is ended by an interview conducted through video. And the treatment pathway is 10 to 12 weeks. Yes, I think I'll also skip this one, but well, you can see that, well, we have a fairly wide age span with patients from 18 years to 70 years old. A larger proportion of patients are females, and a larger proportion are employed. And that's the main reason also for looking up this kind of treatment, that you can attend to your work and your family obligations and still work on your mental health problem. We have large within-group effect sizes on both depression and anxiety. So treatment is effective. And moving forward with this kind of service, and it's very much about, even though we have some research, we still need to expand the research on the effectiveness of the clinic. We also need to look into the cost-effectiveness of offering this service. So this two-year rollout will be completed by a thorough evaluation. We need to look much more into the user perspective. What are the user experience of going through this treatment service? After the two-year period in 2020, the idea is very much to upscale from 400,000 patients per year, 1,400 patients per year, and then going much more up. And this will require a substantial amount of outreach work, of marketing and communication. We also need to work very much on what I've called policy work, so aligning national and regional decision makers in keeping on supporting this service. We would very much like to look into the integration of this kind of service into outpatient care. That's what you call in the Netherlands, you call it blended care. So you combine face-to-face consultation with internet-based cognitive therapy. We would also like to widen the treatment offer. So we would like to look into new treatment targets, new disorders, new target groups, for instance, young people or the elderly. And finally, we would like to combine these ICBT programs with different kinds of technologies, sensor technologies being one example. Yes. Moving on to our use of video consultations in outpatient care. This is one of our greatest implementation tasks to support the mental health departments of our hospital in using video consultation. It was implemented at scale, that is, throughout the hospital in all departments back in 2015 with reimbursement for service equaling face-to-face. So a video consultation will provide you with the same financial payment as a face-to-face consultation. They are used for scheduled and urgent outpatient visits, for medication management, for therapy, for psychoeducation, and support. Of course, the solution, the video software solution we use is data security compliant. It's based on a bring-your-own-device model, so patients use their own laptops, their own mobile phones, and they're sitting at home in the comfort of their home and having the having their consultation with the psychiatrist being at the hospital. Why are we using video consultation? Well, we are aiming to improve access, again, to higher quality service. We would like to support joint decision making in this issue about continuity of services. It provides greater flexibility for patients and less time spent on transport. Some of our areas in our region, we have maybe 2 or 3 hours of transportation each way to the hospital. And then we also see a perspective in reducing non-attendance rates. We do a lot to facilitate the implementation of video consultation. We have written manuals, tutorials describing how to use the video software. We have training sessions. We have an online e-learning course, also giving mental healthcare professionals instructions on how to use the equipment. We've developed a clinical practice guideline covering topics such as the evidence base for video consultations, the necessary workflows, whatever clinical concern you may have using a video consultation, and, well, good practice advice for using this. And this slide is interesting because you can see the numbers. In this year, 2018, 1,838 video consultations have been completed. And you need to compare this number with the general number of outpatient visits and home-based visits from last year. So you can see that, well, deployment numbers are low. So in spite of this great, great effort to implement video consultation, the number of video consultations represent only a fraction of the overall clinic workload. So implementation and using new technologies take time. Lessons learned: outreach, marketing, and communication are everything. You have to let people know that the services are available. The true drivers of e-mental health, it's not you, I'm sorry to say so, it's the patients. If they want to use digital mental health tools, clinical mental health care professionals will too. In our experience, patient and clinical practice champions showcasing the value of using new technologies, they are crucial for implementation. And then there's the issue about training, because generally, mental health care professionals, they have low tolerance for new roles, for new responsibilities, new practices, and these new adjustments, they require training and training and more training. Finally, I have the last point about mental health care technologies. not being products. They are actually services. They are technology-enabled services. So in e-mental health research, mental health care technologies, they're typically described and evaluated as products. Doing so assumes that the technology is the primary agent of change. But doing this ignores the complete ecosystem around the technology, such as human support, for instance, or organizational factors. So a consistent finding has been that mental health benefits are more consistently achieved in the context of human support. So humans are necessary in order to really ripe the fruit of using technologies. Yes, so treating mental health care technologies just as products has meant that we have developed the tools without proper understanding how they actually fit into the context of mental health care. So moving forward with e-mental health care, we need a much greater, a much more profound understanding of patients' lives and how new technologies relate to their management of to the management of their mental health. We need to support flexible use of technologies, allowing scope to fit the service around the user instead of asking the patient to fit, adjust to our system. We need continued technological development and support to ensure a better compatibility between technology, intended use, and clinical practice. We need to have improved implementation strategies, and we need to keep developing and testing new flexible service concepts. So in conclusion, yes, I saw you. We need national or transnational guidelines, but first of all, we need national guidelines. We need national decision makers to take responsibility for issuing guidelines to help patients and providers in finding, recommending, and evaluating digital mental health tools. We also need guidelines for IT developers to designers to create much more useful, much more supporting, reliable mental health tools. We also need to develop digital mental health services iteratively together with patients and providers. Instead of bringing in service users to comment on an e-mental health app far in the development process, we need a completely different approach where we work much more closer together with patients in order to learn their needs and formulate how the service might fit into their needs. So close partnerships throughout the mental health technology creation cycle, I believe that's the way forward. Finally, we also need to integrate these new technologies into services, including face-to-face. So this blending aspect, combining technologies and face-to-face meetings. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sophie. Sorry for the little pressure, but you know, that's playing the game.
Thank you.
I was really impressed by the fact that you have 40 persons in your department, so it's definitely a model we would like to follow.